Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Pick and Roll live stream here on the Board YouTube channel. The Hammers NBA content division and the playoffs are in full swing, and so is the Pick and Roll live stream so far in the postseason. Pips over here on the side as my co-host here is 5-0 on picks. What an amazing start. Let's try to keep things going today with two free picks that are ready to give you right at the start of the show. But also, if we can get to 50 plus likes while we are live today, we also have a bonus big SGP that we can hand out right at the end. Again, a bonus if we can get that additional support on the show. But what we're going to do today, we're going to go through both of those free picks to start us off. Then we'll hear Pips' handicap on both of those picks. We'll recap the previous show's plays before going through some trending topics. There are some big ones. The Lakers losing their ninth in a row to the Nuggets. We'll be looking at the Pacers and a shell-shocked Indiana team, it seemed, against the Milwaukee Bucks in Game 1 before briefly discussing as well the Dallas Mavericks and the way they fell to a Kawhi-less Los Angeles Clippers. Every home team won their playoff game, so it's a bit of a weird one in the NBA right now. So plenty to discuss. Make sure you guys hit that like button if you enjoy what you see along the way and subscribe to the channel. Me and Pips will be live throughout, at very least, the first true rounds of the NBA playoffs, but additional content will be on the way as well. All right, let's get things started here and jump into the picks that we do have ready to go here. The first of two picks is going to be a SGP available at BetMGM. The second play will be a straight-up player prop available at Bet365, but also at BetRivers. So let's get things started. Both of them are actually going to be in the same game, and they're both going to be in the Lakers and Nuggets game. First of all, the SGP at BetMGM, it's going to be minus 120 odds for Jamal Murray over 5.5 assists and Michael Porter Jr., 15 plus points. In our second play, again, it is the same game. At Bet365, you can get it for minus 115. At BetRivers, you can get it for minus 118, but make sure you use an odds comparison tool like BetStamp if you don't have access to these books to see what is the best available price in your region. But the bet for this one is D'Angelo Russell over 15.5 points. So let's hand over to Pips and go back to that first play here. Jamal Murray over on assists, Michael Porter Jr. over on points. Pips, what do you see for this matchup?
This is just how it's been the entire last three times they played. Last three games, Jamal Murray against the Lakers, 11 assists, 10 assists. Last game, playoff game, 10 assists for Jamal Murray. He had 18 potential assists. 39 minutes, they saved him up in the regular season so he can play huge minutes in the playoffs. Everything went through him. He created way more than Jokic. They tried to just run with him, and 18 potential assists is a huge number. And we are betting here to get six, like that's one third of it. And most of assists are to Jokic, who just didn't miss and shouldn't miss. And yeah, pick and roll game with Jokic is a good, if they help, he kicks out the corners. Yeah, like go to play pick and roll with Jokic. If they help on Jokic role or anything, he has targets with KCP, Aaron Gordon, or Michael Porter Jr. So assists should be another great game for Jamal Murray. Also, Lakers in the regular season allowed a fourth most assists. They don't see it, that changing in the playoffs, so we are going with assists here. Second part of the bet is Michael Porter Jr. The last three games against the Lakers in the regular season, 27-25. Then in the first playoff game, he had 19 points. Nothing crazy. Like, he didn't even have like some crazy game. He still ended up scoring 19 points. He's getting great looks. And they're putting LeBron on him. LeBron is helping of him. When they put Reeves or Prince on him, that's just easy buckets for Michael Porter Jr. Didn't share you the numbers, some numbers, but Michael Porter Jr. scores 40% of his points as above the break three. Lakers allowed second most above the break threes. He's scoring most of his points as a spot up and transition and off screens. Lakers are bottom of the league defending all these types. So yeah, this is a great matchup for Michael Porter Jr. and as well as Jamal Murray.
All right, there you have the first play. Let's move to our second play from the early spot here. Reminder, 50-plus likes from today's show, and we have a bonus big SGP ready to give you guys at FanDuel. So if you're enjoying the show, tailing the picks, please make sure you have hit that like button. I do see 50 people actively watching right now. So if we can get everybody involved, you only need 11 more likes, we can get to the milestone. Second play, as I was saying, is on D'Angelo Russell over 15.5 points, minus 115 at Bet365, minus 118 at BetRivers, and a good helpful comment from RWFan23 in chat mentions you can get this for minus 120 at DraftKings, which is the best for the widely available options. But for D'Angelo Russell here, Pips, what do you see after a not-so-great game one from D'Lo? You're thinking a lot better from game two.
Doesn't need to be much better. It just need to be a bit better. He ended up with 13 points, shooting 6 from 20. And, like,
he was shooting.
LeBron had a great game. AD had a great game. They need a third guy to step up. That must be, like, either D'Angelo Russell or Reeves. First half, Lakers were up. I was like, this is going to be painful for the Lakers, because first half, AD and LeBron played like perfect game, like as good as it can be. Like, and they were only up like 3 points. And I was like, if Reeves or D'Angelo Russell don't step up in the second half, it will be tough for the Lakers. And that's what happened. D'Angelo Russell shot 1 from 9 from three, which is insane, because this season he is being one of the best shooters in the league. I know it's like narrative. Like last season, he sucked against the Denver in the playoffs. So overall, in the playoffs, didn't play well. This season, he looks so much more improved, so much better. And then again, in the first game, couldn't make a shot. But I'm just betting on 20 field goal attempts here. Like I don't see that changing. Like if you look at his numbers, when he gets 14 plus, this is insanity. Like, when he takes 14 plus, that this is like since he started playing well in 2024, so since early January, 14 plus field goal attempts, he covered this line in 90% of the games, 28 out of 31, including that loss in the first playoff game. Like, this line is just like too low for his usage. Like, okay, if he shots 5 from 20 again, okay, we lost the bet. And but this wins more often than not. And they need his usage. They need him to make shots. If someone can, like get this guy to be more. He looked like last season, he looked defeated, like he lost confidence. I didn't see it now. Like throughout the entire season, he looked very confident, very like focused, zoned in. And after the last game, he didn't look like he lost confidence at all. He was just firing shots up. He didn't look like he lost confidence. So this could be just a poor shooting game that happens to literally everyone. So, yeah, I'm betting on volume here. Like,
yeah, for starters, I'm not a big D'Angelo Russell fan, but as I just said, he has had a good year. He's had an improved season to what I thought he would have this season. And even though maybe he's built up a bit of a bit being known as somebody who doesn't quite step up for the playoffs, you know, when it comes to the analysis here, you're talking about a guy who's had a great season, is a good 3-point shooter, and is getting up tons and tons of shots. I mean, it's kind of clear that part of the Lakers' game plan was taking threes, because it feels as though a lot of times they don't take enough, so they want to lean on D'Lo to do that. So just by the volume here, we have a good shooter. And even after playing so poorly in game one, he still had 13 points and he played poorly. So if he plays close to fine here, then if he gets up that sort of volume, then 15.5, I agree, should be definitely a spot where you could see D'Angelo Russell cover on that. So I'm in agreement with the two plays here today. So let's move now to the recap of the previous show's play. It's been a while here since we've done one of these shows, but happy to say that the winning run continues to start the postseason. We've moved up to 16 total, plus 16 units as a whole for the show, which is where we started the playoffs last season and with where we are this year. So we're up over 8 units on this season now after the 5-0 start to the postseason. We had Two winners last time. We had Lakers bets when they were playing the Pelicans. We had the Trae Young bet against the Bulls in the play-in tournament. We had the Brandon Ingram and Trey Murphy play in the other play-in tournament game. And then for the playoffs, we had the Max Strus under. So the previous show was 2-0 after the 3-0 show, which was on Tuesday, April 16th. So everything running really well right now, Pips. Anything that you can attribute to the early success in the postseason?
Just picking a good spot, getting good lines, and our closing lines were insane. Like
whole season, that's been the story, yeah. Hasn't it? Just getting good lines.
Just like next level stuff, like the Ingram and Trey Murphy one was like, it closed to -260.70. Right. That's one of the highest we had.
And we and got Strus, -120.
Yeah, and Strus one is also insane. Like we got points down. And it closed -140 something. Also insane closing. Yeah, I mean, so far so good. Like it's kind of with NBA. Happens like poor runs, hot runs. And hopefully we maintain this. Yeah.
Of course. That's this is how it goes with the NBA. Even like what you were saying, you know, you don't get the full sample size of a sports bettor, even maybe after two seasons. Of picks, but even still, firmly in the green on the show, firmly in the green on the season, looking to keep that going today. And again, reminder, if we get to 50 plus likes, we'll have a big SGP coming at you a little bit later on. But let's shift now into some more discussion topics here, because we have had some really great storylines to follow so far from the NBA postseason. But perhaps one of the bigger ones is the Los Angeles Lakers. Once again, playing the Denver Nuggets, and according to the Lakers, last year's series between these two teams was probably one of the most competitive four-game sweeps of all time. The Lakers kept every game close, but did lose in four, maybe looking for a little bit of revenge this season, but they could not get it against the Denver Nuggets. Now, we said, Pips, before the series started, or even before the playoffs started, that the Lakers are good enough to get to a conference final as long as they don't play the Denver Nuggets. Even still, they got them in the first round. Do you give the Lakers any hope of recovering and getting back in this series, potentially winning the whole thing?
Yeah, this is tough. Like, they lost the possession battle, but I think like 15, 16 possessions of turnovers and the offensive rebounds. No way they can win at Denver in that scenario. And they shot 27% from the three. Before the I spoke a couple of times on the Lakers, like now they have shooting around AD and LeBron, and turns out the best shooter in the first game was LeBron James, which is inexcusable for this team. Like AD shot 4-0 from 4, D'Angelo Russell 1-9, Asteris 2-6, Prince 1-3. Like no one showed up. I mean, AD had a great offensive game, good defensive game as well. But yeah, that's expected. Like, inside game is working for them, but they need to make threes and win the possession battle. That, like, it sounds easy, but it's actually very simple. Like win the possession battle, at least be close and make your threes, and then that's it. Like, I can't see LeBron or AD playing any better than this. Like, they played great games. Yeah. They just needed like D'Angelo Russell to make a couple of more threes and better rebounding, and that's it. But the rebounding will be an issue throughout the entire series. Like the Denver Nuggets are much taller team and will be probably in control of the rebounding for the entire series. So they need to cut down the turnovers. They had 12 in the game, so. Especially in that third quarter, when the run started for the Denver, they made a couple of stupid turnovers, got offensive rebounds, and suddenly, like, close game, Lakers up. It needed, like, 3 minutes for Denver Nuggets to go on a huge run, and it was over at this point.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, but I think there is some reason to be at least somewhat optimistic from the Lakers front, because like you said, if they were getting those shots to drop from Russell, that game could have been completely different. But it means just, this is the same thing that happened last year in the playoffs, four games where it's like, yes, they're right there, but still can't win. Darvin Ham talked about how they have some different adjustments to throw into game two, but I guess we shall see when we get there what goes down for that game. Let's
Same old.
Right. Yeah. He'll say it, but we actually have to see it happen, of course. That's going to be the difference. Let's shift to another very intriguing game after their rivalry. Definitely a rivalry that started brewing all throughout the regular season, especially in the in-season tournament between the Pacers and the Bucks. And especially after Giannis was ruled out for the initial stage of this series, the Pacers went from like plus 140 underdogs to favorites to win this series. And they were favored in that game one in Milwaukee. But wow, did that look like a young team in their first ever playoff game? Other than Pascal Siakam, of course, who has already won an NBA championship. Pascal was great. The rest of the Pacers, not so much. And the defense for the Pacers was astonishingly bad. And Pips, the defense is something that you specifically wanted to highlight as being terrible against the Bucks, who end up blowing out the Pacers in game one.
Yeah, the first half was one of the worst defensive games, defensive teams I've ever seen in the playoffs. Like usually these poor defensive teams never make playoffs. I can't remember when a team made the playoffs like that was this poor in defense. Maybe some 8 seed sometimes, but 6 seed, I don't think we ever had top 6 seed being so poor in defense. But finally, I don't know, it was halftime, early second half, they made the adjustment and they did great against. So Damian Lillard scored 35 points in the first half. And he went scoreless in the second half. And why did he went scoreless in the second half? Because they finally started playing defense on him, and that's heavy double, like commit, not just like so many insane stuff happened in the first half. They were like trying to be on the level against him, then they'll like doing the full court press on him, they will set some high screen. Naismith was and Nemhar were going over the screen at the half court, like I don't know how to even explain how insane that is. And then Lillard is driving to the like wide open area, so he gets to the line or he gets wide open look. Like so much stupid stuff in the first half. Second half, Pacers got better. I'll say, second half kept Dame off the shooting scoring, and then they had like guys like Beverly, Lopez, Beasley, Pat Connaughton, Portis. Like they needed to make quick decision and shoot, and that's when the game Pacers started closing the gap. But on the other side of the court, they were terrible on offense. Besides Siakam, everyone sucked on offense. So yeah, this would be a tough series for the Bucks. Very difficult for Siakam to like shoot 15 from 25 again and be so great. Like he didn't miss anything. So yeah, it will be interesting. But overall, like team of rookies getting into the inexperienced guys getting to the first time playing NBA playoffs.
And definitely there was. It just still feels as though the Bucks have not forgotten about all the trash talking and the rivalry that brewed over the course of the regular season. It seemed as though there was a little bit extra for the Bucks to give there. And the Pacers, the word I used in the intro was shell-shocked, because that is exactly what it looked like between these teams. Yeah, Pacers have some work to do. Now, I will say, like you said, the second half, they were better. They improved in the second half, and there are some positives to take away. So I think it's going to be a very intriguing game, too. You know, not the end of the world that the Pacers go down 2-0. They still are the favored team. They will be favored in their games when they are playing at home, have every opportunity to get it back to 2-2. But yeah, if they can take a 1-1 into Indiana, I think they would absolutely take that at the start of the series. So it is one game. There were improvements and adjustments that can be made for that game too.
I can see Giannis getting back game four. Like if they are like if the Bucks win 2-0 here, Giannis probably back game five. If it's 1-1, Giannis could be back probably game three, or maybe even probably game four, maybe even game three. Like if the Bucks are up 2-0, like they don't need to rush with Giannis. They can give him rest. If they are 1-1, and going to the Pacers, that will be like, okay, we need Giannis here. Like, because this team didn't look like second half, I didn't like Bucks at all. Like, I honestly, at one point I was thinking like, okay, this is another Doc Rivers throw, like, in the playoffs. And they, Pacers came, I think, to like cut it down to 10. And then, like, Chris Middleton made like four top buckets in a row to get away. Like, they were coming down. And those, if you remember the game against the Lakers, when Middleton went from top buckets and they almost lost the game, this was the same exact thing. Like, they didn't run anything. It was Middleton settling for tough shots, but this time they went in. Like, that's the difference in this one. So, yeah, I don't trust if this series will for sure have some close games, I don't trust Doc Rivers to do well in this one.
Yeah, it felt for a bit like it could have been another Doc classic. Didn't quite get that. Didn't quite happen, but he gave himself enough of a first half cushion. Thank you, Damian Lillard, for that. But you make a great point about the Giannis thing. And I think the Pacers will know this. They have to get Giannis back ASAP. Just like I remember from personal experience, when the Raptors won the championship 2019, Kevin Durant was out but was supposed to come back at one point in the series. I knew the Raptors had to win every possible game they could, because when KD came back, there'd be an issue. And he came back for one quarter, and that was enough for the Warriors to win Game 5 in Toronto, with the Raptors looking to close things out. Obviously, got injured, and Raptors ended up winning the chip. But yeah, I know the feeling of a team that feels like they have to win now, because it's going to get harder when that player does come back. And you're right. They, for the Bucks' sake, it's the opposite. They want to keep Giannis rested as long as possible. Final game that we want to briefly talk about here is the Dallas Mavericks, because, well, for the Dallas Mavericks, you and me, Pip, said that Dallas rightfully were favored in this series. They opened, I think, at plus 120. They closed as pretty sizable favorites. Last time I checked, they're like minus 140 to win this series. Kawhi ruled out game one after that, and Dallas did not look good at all in the early stages of game one. 8 points in the second quarter, 22 points in the first quarter. It was pretty disastrous here. You had mentioned, you even highlighted Derek Jones Jr. as specifically a player that you don't trust, and that kind of rang true here. Kyrie drops 31, Doncic drops 33, but not really a lot of help elsewhere for the Mavericks to get held under 100 again with no Kawhi Leonard. I'm gonna let you victory lap here, James Harden, because James Harden was terrific in this game.
I'm gonna do a victory lap for Croatian Hakeem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh, Zubac is also terrific. Yes,
like those hook shots, those post ups, those finishes. Yes. Like, it was like looking at the prime Kareem, and yeah, it was great to see. Like, of course, like great to see Harden playing well. He started the game like great energy, great shooting. Really, really great stuff from him, but I think the Ivica Zubac was like thing that like the best thing from this game. Like, he was from 17, scored 20 points, was great on the boards with 15 rebounds. Like, he did a bit of everything. He was game high plus 15. Yeah, just a great game from Zubac here. And if guys are so maybe surprised, he is shooting 62% on hooks this season, and that's not like out of like blue sky. I don't know how to say it, but that's not like surprise to me at all. Like, he's great in that part. They just don't use it with Ty Lue. Now they went to it, and it won them the game easily.
Yeah. I think you're trying to say that it's not surprising to see him play. Yeah. As well as that. So
yeah.
Definitely an impressive one from the Clippers. I kind of agree with the way Fries has outlined it here and saying that the Mavs got punched in the mouth there and expecting a rebound. I would suggest the same, and they're going to need this Jason Kidd to make some adjustments. We've been very high in the past on Ty Lue and his ability to make adjustments. We just weren't sure he had enough kind of in the tank for this series, essentially, to make anything happen. but clearly showcased that. And now the onus and the burden is on Jason Kidd to try and get something right for the next one. But that will do it for our analysis portion of the show here. A lot of support today. Really appreciate that. Everybody who did support the show, just drop a like and tuned in for the playoff show today. Really appreciate it. Because of the support, we have the bonus Big SGP ready to go for you guys. In fact, it is at FanDuel, which always sees some fluctuations. We actually have a better price when we started the show, so it's a bit of a good thing that we maybe waited a little bit for this one to come out. But we can get this for plus 359 odds available at FanDuel, or you can go over to ESPN Bet and play this at plus 400 odds if you have access to that sportsbook in your region. Anybody in Ontario like myself can get those same odds at the Score Bet as well. But the play is in the Magic and Cavaliers game. We're going to be taking Franz Wagner under 21.5 points and over 2.5 assists. Paolo Banchero, 6-plus rebounds and 4-plus assists. And finally, in the fifth leg of the Big SGP, Jalen Suggs, 10-plus points. Again, plus 359 at FanDuel, plus 400 at ESPN Bet. Okay, Pips, you clearly saw something from Game 1 that caught your eye, and you want to see it again in Game 2. What is the handicap behind this play?
So first off, they are showing bodies playing zone and drives against Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner. Very difficult game from both scoring-wise. But with that being said, that opens up the kickouts for open shots. First off, Franz Wagner had 18 points on 15 field goal attempts in this one, and I expect something similar in game two. He had 3 assists on 13 potential assists. That's just insanity, like how poor shooting that was. But another young team first playoff game, I expect them to be way better in the game two, especially shooting-wise. So yeah, I'm counting on that part. Second part is Isaac started. So it's not Isaac at the five. It was more like Banchero at the five. So he had 77 rebounds in this one, but he had 18 rebounding chances. So he was team leading in rebounding chances. And in these lineups, he will always lead the team in rebounding chances. And I can see him getting like 8, even 9, maybe even 10 rebounds in this one if Cleveland shoots a bit worse in the game too. That could also happen. Then we have Banchero assists. He had 5 in the first game, even though they shot 5 from 14. He had 14 potential assists. So its creation is mostly on Banchero and Franz, but they are seeing a lot of bodies in front of them, so they're kicking out. Suggs had 13 points in the first game, and he shot 16 field goal attempts. Like, he had so many great looks. Like, he missed 2 layups from transition. He missed like 3 wide open threes. He was getting insane usage because they are doubling Franz and Banchero. So he was the guy that got most of it out of it, most great looks. So yeah, it's just a numbers game, like usage for Suggs, assist creation for Banchero and Franz. Franz seeing some like difficult finishing against Mobley and Allen inside. So yeah, this is all around works well together, and we are getting great price.
There you go, guys. That is the Big SGP. Once again, we thank you for the support on the show here. We have plenty of content coming your way for the NBA playoffs, including in live streams like this. So make sure you keep it locked by subscribing to the channel. Make sure you have notification bell turned on so you know exactly when the content is coming out, because we have some additional content that periodically does drop on the channel as well. Drop a like if you have not done so already, if you enjoyed this one. And let's recap those picks for you guys. So first of all, in the Lakers and Nuggets game, there are 2 plays. First of all, and it is on BetMGM at minus 120 odds for this SGP. Jamal Murray over 5.5 assists and Michael Porter Jr. 15-plus points. Second play is D'Angelo Russell over 15.5 points for minus 115 odds at Bet365, minus 118 odds at BetRivers, and also minus 120 odds was available at DraftKings. We had a lot of people watching the show today, and it's a little bit later on, so if you're watching later on in the day, make sure you use an odds comparison tool like BetStamp to ensure you're getting the best price in your region at the time. You can check out the offers available with the link that is in the description, our BetStamp affiliate link as well, which also does support the show if you do sign up to a new sportsbook in your region through that link. Also, we have the big SGP, plus 359 at FanDuel, the widely available option. If you have access to ESPN Bet, it was higher at the time when we gave it out. But we have Franz Wagner under 21.5 points here and over 2.5 assists. Paolo Banchero, 6-plus rebounds and 4-plus assists, rounding it off with Jalen Suggs, 10-plus points. And that will do it for today's show. Keep it locked again by subscribing to the channel. Me and Pips will be back again here very soon for some more playoff free picks powered by the Hammer Betting Network. And we hope to see you there.